Welcome back to Mind of a Musician. We are the local independent music podcast, and we are currently going over bands from Kansas. Now, I just wrapped up a Wichita band series, and I'm working on putting together a bands from Lawrence series. Lawrence, Kansas seems to have a really strong music scene, so I thought it would be cool to take a look at some of those bands. Before we get started on the smaller working bands, I wanted to take a look at a couple of the bands that have, while they're still small, had some pretty significant success. So that's what we're going to do in this episode. I wanted to talk about a band called the Appleseed Cast that I heard about back in high school from one of my guitar player friends who listened to all these bands that nobody had ever heard of. Now, at that time, I lived in Indiana and I had never been to Kansas, so that should tell you right there that this band was pretty well known for a small band, although I only knew one person who knew who they were in Indiana. But before we get into that, let's talk about some fun stuff, because I went to a show this weekend with a couple of my friends. So I'd been wanting to see this band from Wichita rise again, but whenever they'd been playing in Wichita, I hadn't been able to go. Last time they had a gig at the Shamrock, I was actually sick, so I didn't make it to that gig, which is pretty close to my house, so that would have been ideal. So instead, this Friday, they were playing in Oklahoma City, and I thought, hey, it might be kind of fun and a good excuse to take a little road trip. So I took a couple of my buddies down to Oklahoma City to a bar called Your Mom's Place, and it's a renovated biker bar. It was a pretty nice venue with a good sound system, big speakers. They even have a decent stage, but the only thing is there weren't that many people there that night. I think there were only 15 or 20 people there, including the bands. On the downside, I'm pulling hard for local music, so I wanted to see more people there to hear the bands. But on the plus side, that gave us a really good opportunity to actually hang out with the band and talk and stuff like that. So we got there right about when the band showed up, and they were unloading, and I had actually met the drummer from Rise Again a few weeks before at the Dusty Grant CD release show. But he didn't know it was me, and I didn't know it was him. See, being that I'm kind of new to the Wichita music scene, I've only seen some of these people on Facebook, so I saw him from across the room, and I thought that he was Eric Pierce from ICT Radio when I was at the Dusty Grant show. So I walked up to him and I'm like, hey man, is your name Eric? And he's like, no Eric here. I was like, oh, you're not that guy from ICT Radio? He's like, radio? No. So I was like, whoops. And then I saw ICT Unplugged's first episode and I realized it was him. So this time when I met them in Oklahoma City, we joked about it and I actually knew who I was talking to. And the singer for Rise Again, Buana, when she saw me, she was like, hey, I didn't expect to see you way out here. You know we're playing in Wichita tomorrow night, right? I was like, yeah, it's kind of a good excuse for a road trip. But we had a blast. On that night, there were supposed to be three bands. There was a band called Ancient Anger, and they had to drop out for personal reasons. So there were only two bands. And the first band of the night was Paid in Spades. And they were a three-piece, kind of like a Metallica, punk, Misfits type of band. Then they did play a Metallica cover and a Misfits cover. But while the bands were loading in, these guys walked into the bar wearing, like, skirts and t-shirts. Like, pink, flowery skirts. One guy had a skirt to the floor, and the other guy had, like, this tiny mini skirt on. And they go up on stage and they take their shirts off, so they're just playing in these skirts. So this was interesting. We had no idea what the band meant behind this. I didn't know if this is just what they do or if this is like, you know, what they wear to work. I had no idea. So they started playing, and they're playing this heavy growling punk metal. And they were actually like really having a good time and joking around a lot. So it was pretty entertaining. And at the end of their set, we were talking to their singer. His name is Francis, but he goes by Franklin Fury as his stage name. And one of my friends said, hey, nice skirt. And the guy laughed about it and he said, yeah, we were trying to figure out what to wear for our next upcoming shows. And we said, hey, we've got $20. Let's go to Goodwill. And they decided they were going to pick out something for each other. And like, whatever one band member picked out for the other member, like, he had to wear it. So they picked out several different outfits. And at this show, it was the skirts. So it was actually just like a prank. They were going to embarrass each other by making them wear ridiculous outfits on stage. So that was pretty funny to find out. And I guess at one of the previous shows, they made the guitar player wear like a bikini top and stuff. So that was pretty unforgettable. And we talked to them for a while at their merch table. And at the merch table, they were selling like these plaques with Paid in Spades on them and beef jerky that they'd made. And if I had to guess, I'd say these guys were probably mid to late 40s. They're all married and have kids and stuff. So check out Paid in Spades. I think they're recording right now. They're actually from Lawton, Oklahoma. So after they played, I finally got to see Rise Again. And man, they're really good. They're very solid. The drummer's exceptional. They had a bass player that was fairly new. He's only been in the band for 2 months. His name's Brandon. And he had this rare Dimebag Darrell bass. I guess there's only like 300, maybe 200 of this guitar made. And he has one. Juana's a really exceptional singer live. And she also made use of a vocal effects modulator. So that was kind of cool because she'd put, it sounded like a phaser or something on her voice from time to time. But even unprocessed, her voice was just really powerful. So they were a really solid band, and they've put a lot of energy back into the local music scene. They run that ICT Unplugged video series. And I'm like one of those people who pretends to play drums. I can keep a beat, but I wanted to improve my technique and stuff so that I could actually play like a real drummer. So I was talking to their drummer about rudiments, and he went and grabbed his sticks, and we talked about technique, and he showed me some stuff. So that was really cool. You guys should go to a show if you get a chance and see Rise Again. They're going to be playing in Junction City, I think, on May 11th or somewhere around there. And they'll be playing Rocklahoma. They're going all over the place. So check them out. They're really nice people to get to know. So my friends and I stayed downtown in Oklahoma City that night. And the next day we went to the Oklahoma City Bombing Memorial, where 168 people died in 1996, maybe? There's a big courtyard with two gates on each end where the original building was. And the far gate says 901, which is the moment before the bomb went off. And then on the other end, there's a gate that says 903. And that's supposed to represent that in that moment at 902 when the bomb went off, everything changed. There are also 168 chairs on the grass that are spaced to symbolize all the people who died in the blast. It was pretty cool to experience because when I was a kid, I remember when that happened. But it was really weird to stand there and look out and say 168 people were murdered here. That's kind of a morbid thing to say, but it's a weird thing to experience. For me, it kind of made me reflect a little bit about my impact on people and stuff like that. And that's kind of where I've been at with my journey lately. Maybe it's because when I was a teenager, I basically just impacted the world as chaos. And now I'm trying to do something a little more positive with my life. Right outside the 903 gate, there was a second memorial, and it was a brick wall. And there were bricks missing that represented all the people that died in the blast. And there was a statue of Jesus, and he was turned away from where the building was because he was weeping for the victims. Part of the original foundation of that building is still there, so it's kind of strange to go over there and look at it and see the damage from the bomb. As we were getting ready to leave, I got a call from my mom because my grandpa had actually passed away. So I found out while I was at the memorial, which is kind of a hard place to find something like that out. So that kind of sticks in my memory. But at the same time, I was with two of my closest friends, and we were having a blast on that trip. And I just thought, you know, if there's any time I was going to find out about this, I'm glad that it was here. At least I could be with friends, and that would kind of help me get my mind off stuff and have some fun. But after that, there was actually a memorial marathon going on, so downtown was kind of crazy. But we made it to the original Bricktown Brewery where we had lunch. And that's one of my favorite places to go in Wichita, but the original's in Oklahoma City. So we visited that, hung out a little bit more in downtown Oklahoma City, and then we came home. So that was my mostly awesome weekend. And if you can, follow Rise Again on Facebook because they've been releasing some acoustic videos that are pretty sweet. So last night, one last thing before we start actually listening to music, I saw Avengers Endgame, and I'm still trying to process what I saw. I think I might be in an existential crisis after that. It was good, it was real good, and I loved Infinity War Part 1, but this movie, it really wrapped things up nicely, but it also made me, like, ponder what I'm doing with my life, which I'm mostly happy with for the most part, but, man... That was like a huge event, and I'm sure you guys have probably seen it by now, but I'm not going to spoil anything. All right, let's check out the band, the Appleseed Cast, from Lawrence, Kansas. So when I found this band, again, I remembered them from high school, and there were two songs that I really liked, and I wanted to share them both. So we'll listen to an older song from their career and a newer song. Mostly because I just couldn't decide which one I wanted to play. But they are actually recording a new album right now after a long break. I thought maybe they'd broken up because they've been around since the 90s and they went years without releasing anything. But on January 20th, they released a new song called Asking the Fire for Medicine, and they started recording a new album. So first, I want to check out the song Fight Song. So when I first saw this on Spotify, I thought, ooh, fight song. That's probably like some action-packed song about a fist fight. But it's not. It's actually an atmospheric breakup song. It's pretty melancholy. So here's some of the lyrics. They say, this is the end. There's nothing left to keep. This is the end of you and me. And then at the end, they say, so we'll look out on the lake and we'll see the white light. I said it was gold. It should have been gold. Then maybe all the crazy things you said would have some meaning. But this thing we've made, it can't stop. It won't stop. And I can't face you now. Take your troubles solo. This is the end of you and me. So those lyrics stood out to me because they're pretty original. They're complex. The instrumentation's going to be complex. It's going to be a pretty heavy atmosphere. So that's the setup for this song. So I'm going to play it. This is Fight Song from Two Conversations, recorded in 2003, and then we'll talk about it. Here we go. We'll be right back.
mistake we have made. It can't stop. No, it won't stop.
Hope you enjoyed Fight Song by the Appleseed Cast from the album Two Conversations. Now you can find this song on Spotify and probably iTunes and all that stuff. So let's review this a little bit. This is the Good Bad Respect Game. The Good. Man, this song is atmosphere to the max. There are some nice breathy swells, some cool synthesizer. It sounds modern. It doesn't sound like cheesy synthesizer. They do a really good job of making a unique texture, and they put that underneath the song. I'm just going to point out that the vocals are really crisp and clear here, and the reason I'm pointing that out here is because for some reason on their next song from 2011, they are just the opposite. Some other things I like about this is just the memorable lead guitar melody. There's some delay on it. It's kind of haunting. I really like that. You hear some percussive cymbals on the verse. I can hear a hi-hat in there, a ride, but there's some other sounds I'm not really sure what they are, like some kind of small, obscure cymbal that doesn't really ring. It has a very short decay, but it just sounds really cool. And when I'm listening to it, it almost seems to symbolize rain, which is interesting because now that conjures up an image of like a breakup and some kind of rainstorm. But also symbolically, this relationship is going through a serious storm that's so bad, it's not going to survive. So it really makes sense to do something like that musically. In fact, you're going to hear this song end with that lead guitar just kind of fading away, and it sounds haunting. And that sort of symbolizes that the storm just fades away. Things heal with time, the pain fades away, and you've got to move on. It's time for a new song. So I thought that was really interesting how the texture so supports what the lyrics are about. The bad. Well, depending on who you are and where you are in life, this song may or may not like make you sad. It's a bit dark. It's a little depressing. It's supposed to be. I mean, they've done a good job of taking this emotion and the situation they went through and putting it into a song. They're helping you experience that. But for you, if you are someone who is struggling in life right now and you're kind of depressed, you might want to avoid this band just for now because that could trigger some of that in you. I remember when I was in like eighth grade, I was having a really hard time. And sad music made me comfortable, but it was also helping to keep me feeling sad. So I remember I was like, man, I think I have to give up listening to some of my favorite songs for like, I don't know, a few months until I feel better. And I did, and it helped. It's not the only thing that helped, but just to say, the atmosphere here is so effective at recreating that sadness that they were feeling that you may not want to go here right now if you're wrestling through a hard time in your life. and you feel that songs or movies are particularly triggering for you. That being said, it is a great success as an artist to be able to recreate effectively the emotions of a situation in a song and make the listener feel that. I mean, isn't that what you're trying to do when you're making a movie? The mark of a good movie is helping the viewer to actually feel and experience the story that you're telling. And that's what the band was able to do here. So, I really respect that. This song is just thick and dripping with emotion, and it will conjure up very vivid images in your mind. So I really respect the band's effectiveness at setting the mood. All right, we're ready to check out our second band, which is also the Appleseed Cast. This song is called End Frigate Constellation. I didn't know what in the world a frigate was, but I looked it up and it's actually like a warship. And before I play this song, I just want to say the thing that caught my attention right off the bat was the drum beat. It's simple, but things don't have to be super complex to be interesting. As soon as I started listening to this song, it caught my attention right away because they were doing something unique with the drums, and then they sync it up with the lead guitar. So again, it's not overly complex, it's not like it's a hard part to play, but they came up with a good original idea. This song is from a little later in the band's career. It's from the album Middle States. It's just a 4-song EP, and this was released in 2011. So let's check out the song End Frigate Constellation by the Appleseed Cast. Here we go.
Thank you.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that song. Boy, if you're like me and you just watched Endgame yesterday and then you're listening to this, I just kind of feel like I'm in some kind of weird, foggy world right now. I feel like I just woke up in another state and I'm looking around like, where am I? It's really weird. This song to me sounds like, I don't know, it's the middle of winter, or you're in an airplane flying over snow-covered mountains. That's the kind of vibe that I hear when I hear this song. I think that this sounds more like indie movie soundtrack music than it does something you'd hear on the radio. It's really a shame that the radio doesn't play more cool stuff like this, because it's a really good song, and it's artistic. But hey, that's why my generation likes Spotify and podcasting so much, is because you can find whatever content you're interested in there, not just the mainstream stuff. Alright, let's talk about The Good. Well, again, the band creates a really heavy atmosphere. And in this song, it's a little bit different than the other song. The other song was thick with sadness. The beginning of this song is more eerie and haunting. It's not necessarily sad, but more maybe adventurous. And then, halfway through, at the 3-minute mark, we switch into a major key, and what do you know, the mood changes again. I'm wondering if you noticed why that drum beat would stand out to me. In its simplicity, it might not impress you, but if you listen to it again and think, you've never heard this drum beat before. I can't think of another song in the entire universe that has the same drum beat as this song. And that to me is just as impressive as a really complex part. So I'll play that again for you real quick. Check it out. Maybe it's just the musician in me, but like 20 seconds into that song, my ears were perking up just from that. I think it's really cool. I also like the distant, haunting guitar. It's set back in the music with some reverb on it. They also pan it over to the right to make it sound like it's off in the distance. Now in verse 2, I noticed that while this nice, sweet-sounding guitar is playing, in the other speaker, there's like this disaster guitar that's just churning away with fuzz and freaky distortion. And it's just a menace. So it's like a clash of two opposite ideas, one in the left speaker and one in the right. But it works. Check it out. Something else I like is that at the 3-minute mark, when we get to the bridge, the song changes from that minor key into a major key. And at 3 minutes, the focus is on the vocals and the piano because that guitar drops out. It's almost like a moment of clarity, and then the song changes directions. And at 4 minutes, the drums and the guitar switch back into going nuts, but this time in the major key. I used to listen to this British band called Blur, and late in their career they started experimenting a lot with sound effects and really wild guitar noises, and sometimes they would make a sound that just sounded like a vacuum cleaner. Like, it didn't even sound like a guitar. Well, here at the 4-minute mark, this band kind of channels some of Blur, and I feel like what I'm hearing is like someone pressing the start button on a blender. That's not meant to be a knock. Like, I think it's cool. And I think it works really well for soundtrack music. But also, maybe this could be infomercial music. You could own your own Appleseed Cast blender or a washing machine or a vacuum cleaner. See, this band could be effective at selling appliances. I'll play the blender section again and you can just tell me if I'm nuts or if you hear it too. All right, the bad. I always try to say something constructive that the band can work on. Not really anything bad, except, well, maybe on this song I might actually say something bad. Because what the heck is he saying? I can't understand anything. Maybe that bridge section where everything drops out but the drums and piano and the vocals. I can understand some of what he's saying there. But the rest of the song, like, I'm straining on the verses to hear the vocals at all. Maybe the words aren't important. Like, maybe they're just there to make a haunting setting. Or maybe it's like Pearl Jam's Yellow Ledbetter, where the lyrics are just a bunch of nonsense. I'm not sure. Seriously, with Yellow Ledbetter, fans like really wanted to know what Eddie Vedder was saying in that song, so he released a lyric sheet, and then people got upset because the lyrics that he wrote out were not actually the lyrics in the song, because he didn't even know what he said when he recorded that song. Like, he just totally got up there and improvised it, and half of it's not words. So that's an interesting fact about Pearl Jam, which a band I also really like. But in this song, I wish I knew what the singer was saying. So I thought, well, that's not a big deal if I can just go online and find the lyrics. So I looked at like every single lyric site online, and for this song, they all said unintelligible lyrics or instrumental. That's it. I'm gonna have to write the band or something to solve this mystery. It's not a huge issue if this was just an artistic choice, but the vocals are so buried on the verses, I can barely even hear the melody there. So I just would like to hear those up a little louder, or maybe a better slot carved out in the EQ so that the vocals actually have like a little pocket to sit in so I can hear them. The only other thing I really have to say that's maybe bad about it is that when I listened to this song in my car, it was kind of hard to tell what the framework or the chord progression of the verses actually was. And it's really kind of just the nature of the song. The bass is kind of covered up. But, you know, on a nice sound system, I'm sure it's fine. My Mazda has kind of not the greatest speakers in the world. And I also have a Ford Focus, which I swear is the most atrocious car stereo I've ever heard in my life. Last week I played a Nightwish album in there and it just sounded like a bunch of mush. So, you know, if you're going more for texture than power, that's fine. And I know I sound like I'm being hard on the song, but I do really love this song. I mean, this is one of the songs that I listened to like crazy after I first discovered it. And in fact, even without the words, I had this stuck in my head. So yesterday I was singing along in my head this melody. And you know when you have something in your head and then you realize that you don't even know what the words to that song are? Like, it's a really weird phenomenon, but that's what happened. I was trying to go to bed or I was working on something and I had the song in my head. And I'm like, I don't even know a single word to this song. But in my head, I can hear the vocal part still. I don't know what they're saying, but it's there. So maybe what I respect, and this is a great achievement, is you have hooked me without me knowing any of the words to your song. That's impressive. Again, this song sounds big and vast, and I am convinced that they're trying to tell you something with the music. I mean, there's three big clues. One is that crazy distorted guitar in one speaker, and the clear, crisp, sweet-sounding guitar that's just the opposite in the other speaker. And then that bridge that's like a moment of clarity, and that key change, and that the song stays in that major key. Well, what's it mean? I think that this song symbolizes maybe a storm or a challenge, and then in that bridge, there's a moment of clarity. But the thing about life is it's not like a movie where you go through something and the story's resolved and everything's good and happy. Like, more challenges emerge. So we've got this bridge, and then after that, listen for that crazy guitar in the left speaker to come back. Yet we stay in the major key. And what I think this symbolizes is this person discovers hope, and then they carry that through the next storm. Like, the challenges come back, but yet they're not deterred this time. In the first half of the song, it's like someone facing the unknown. It's like they can't get from point A to point B. They can't see through the fog. They can't see hope. And then they get to that moment of clarity, and they discover hope. They embrace it. And then They have faith after that. And when the storm returns, they're standing up strong in it. I mean, this is just my interpretation, but when the song kicks back into high gear at 4 minutes during the blender part, it sounds to me like the main character being just battered with wind and rain again, but this time, like, they're staring up and there's sunshine and they can see hope. That's what this song sounds like to me. How do you have hope and faith in a world of chaos? That's what we find at the end of this song. It symbolizes the balance between having hope even when you're facing the unknown or you're facing the storm and you're being battered with wind and rain and failure. I wish we could take a look at the lyrics and get an idea of what the writers were actually trying to tell us, but this is kind of what I'm hearing and interpreting out of the song, just from my own subjective opinion. But it would be really funny if it turned out it's actually just about some guy coming into a house and starting to vacuum or making a protein smoothie. Like, what if it was about some guy who's just like exhausted from getting back from the gym or a run, and he's trying to make a protein smoothie, and then at 3 minutes, like, he finally gets ready to press the button on the blender, and then it takes off. Zzz, that's what it sounds like. That is what that guitar sounds like to me. So, you know, it could be something deep, like the battle between fear and hope, or it could be about vacuuming or blending. I don't know. You tell me what you hear. For me, this second song is more engaging long-term. It has more replay value to me than Fight Song did. And that's kind of weird to say, because when I first listened to Fight Song, I thought that song had the better hook. But for me, Fight Song stays in like one chord progression the whole time, and it's fairly simple. There's more complexity to End Frigate Constellation. So I enjoy both, but that second song, later in their career, to me, they're more taking me on a musical journey and ending somewhere else other than where we started. All right, that's all I've got for this episode. I will be back in a week or two with more bands, and soon we're going to take a look at the smaller, unknown bands from Lawrence, Kansas. There's some really good, impressive bands over there, and I can't wait to talk about what the songs are about. I've contacted all of the bands to see if I can get some story info and some info about the creative process, and I'll be sharing those, and I'll be releasing another playlist and compilation album for bands from Lawrence, Kansas soon. So until then, check out mindofamusician.com. If you can't get enough music, go to ict-radio.com. They're one of our partners in the local Wichita music scene. And we'll see you next time. So what's it giving together?